Welcome to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm the host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. My point today is my dear friend, Sean Schieferstein. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you're here. It's going to be an exciting time. Sean is a character full of energy, very dynamic, animated human being. So I'm very excited that you're here, and we're going to have a great conversation.
I'm excited. No, long time listener. Listen to mostly all your content, so when the opportunity presented itself to come on, I couldn't help but take up the opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Sean, give us a little bit of a background. Tell us about yourself and where you are, what you're doing.
Okay, so grew up greater Cleveland area, lived in Strongsville for a little bit. Now live out here in Seven Hills. I went to Holy Name High School, played basketball for a couple years there. I played lacrosse there, and then met you in high school as well, you know, through mutual friends and through the good old CYO basketball. After high school, I went on to the Ohio State University. You know, you got to put the D in there.
Absolutely.
Put some respect on it. No, but went to Ohio State. I studied exercise science there, and I loved it. I mean, just the time of my life, loved being in Columbus, longtime Buckeyes fan, so a chance to go to my dream school, which I did. Graduated in 4 years. Like I said, a degree in nutrition and exercise science. And I'm currently a graduate assistant at Cleveland State University, where I'm pursuing my master's degree, I should say. Also studying exercise physiology. Just kind of taking that next step forward. I got a really good gig doing a graduate assistantship, you know, where they cover partial tuition. So doing that and just kind of figuring out what I'm going to do with the next step, you know, taking it one step at a time. I have a job right now. I work as a sport performance trainer at a gym out in Twinsburg. So I work with athletes from middle school to high school to collegiate players. I have a couple D1 athletes that I'm fortunate enough to work with. We work with adults as well. And so I really love that. I mean, I just have a passion for exercise and physical health. And so the fact that I get to do that for a living right now is pretty awesome. So, I mean, I enjoy what I do. Lots of connections, meeting people. I mean, I think I'm a pretty social guy. So
talking
to people all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. And just kind of figuring out what the next step is, you know, one little step at a time.
Yeah, all the hard work that you put in up to this point has allowed you to, you know, be a GA, to get an opportunity to put what you've studied into practice with your sports performance training.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how the building blocks come, you know, once you do put in the time, and you're a guy that's going to commit to something. When you're there, you're going to, you know, you're going to ball out with it, and you're going to go heavy and go hard with it, and that's what happens. That allows those opportunities to come
up. Yeah, exactly. That's one thing. If you're going to do something, you might as well give 110%.
For sure.
Because if you're not, you're just wasting your time, you're wasting other people's time. So that's what I do, and with things that I really enjoy. And if I don't enjoy it, I probably won't do it, because if I can't give 110%, then, you know, what's the point? So,
yeah.
And other people recognize that too, and I think that helps with making connections. And I've always been a firm believer it's who you know, not what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just making a good impression with people, and they see that, you know, taking that extra step, going above and beyond, and that will help you, will open doors for you. Like, I got my graduate assistantship just from my experience. Like, I did okay in school. I was average student. I probably failed chemistry 3 times. I hated chemistry. So I wasn't like the best student in college, but it was my experience and like just going out and pursuing things. That's, I think, my experience really helped me get to where I am today. And continuing to do that experience is going to help me get to where I'm going to be tomorrow, you know?
Absolutely.
In the future.
Yeah, because, like, something that people, I feel like, often misunderstand with the phrase, like, it's who you know, not what you know, is, like, the idea is that there's X amount of people that know exactly what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, there's so many people that can study sports performance, study nutrition, be a nice student and a good, like, a physically fit guy, and all be at one playing field. Like, you all know that. So then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to work, and like you always do, put yourself out there and have the experiences that then bolster you into the category of like, oh, well, now it's who I know because of all these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So like, the guy that knows what you know and doesn't do anything, he just knows what he knows.
Exactly.
You have gone out and made the connections and done all those sorts of things.
Yeah. So just the experience, like, I was a research assistant down at Ohio State. So I got to work with different populations of, like, I worked with like, osteoarthritis patients, we had breast cancer patients. So just even though that wasn't like my main like passion, like I wanted to work with athletes at the time, mm-hmm. Doing things I know would help, what I know would benefit me in the long run. So just doing that, and then like I said, giving 110% effort with what you know, and you know, then people see that and they're always willing to step out and make a recommendation for you know, and you never know who they know, you know. So it's the connections is crazy. Like I got my job that I'm working right now. It was an acquaintance of my uncle, and we went on like a trip together. I went on a trip with my uncle. We went skiing. He was just there, and it was just like sitting around a table, like having a few drinks, just like BSing with them, you know, just shooting the bowl, and just people seeing like the personality and like how you present yourself. Like you never know who's watching. So
it's true.
So it's always being the best that you can be at, no matter what you're doing. So just, I just think that the connections and the networking is so important no matter what you do.
It's like you pinpoint back to that with this job now. Can you pinpoint back to maybe instances of your childhood or in high school, whenever you realize you're like, you know what, I love the physical fitness side of life. I love being healthy in the nutrition. Can you look back on a couple moments where you're like, these are defining times, or has it kind of always been something that's been
so part of you? Honestly, it's not like one specific moment. In high school, I wasn't like, I didn't love working out. Like sophomore year, we did basketball lifting. I was like, I screwed around in the gym. Like I didn't enjoy it. Senior year, I kind of started to get a little more interest in it. And then going to Ohio State, I didn't know what I wanted to study. I know I wanted to do like the medical field, not the medical, like the health field. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like looked at like the sciences, and like I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to go to school for 12 years. I'm like, that wasn't me. Chemistry and biology, or like microbiology, was like all in that. I'm like, that sounds terrible. I'm like, that's just not for me. Like,
sure,
you want to do that, kudos to you. That just wasn't for me. And then
it's hard stuff.
It is. It's so hard. It's tough. And so I saw exercise science was on there. I was like, that's interesting. I'm like, I like working out, you know. I like playing basketball. I like being active.
Yeah.
So I chose that. And then once I really saw what it was, I actually like really got a passion for it. And then it was like another, so there's like the exercise science, and you can do one with like nutrition and exercise science. So I never had a great diet, and I honestly still was okay. But I was like, you know what? Nutrition is actually kind of interesting. So I picked that up because I feel like those two things go hand in hand.
Sure.
And so I just kind of fell into it. There was no like defining moment where I knew this is what I wanted to study. But I love it. And so I want to do something with that, whether I stay in the fitness industry or kind of branch out to something a little similar. I just don't know right now.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we'll see, but just kind of along that path, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Did you guys have people that came in and talked to you? Like, you know how you would do that?
In high school or in college?
In college. Did they ever tell you different ways that you could take your path?
Yeah. So there was mainly like my nutrition. I didn't want to be like a nutritionist or a dietitian. Yeah. I didn't have that. There's like sports nutrition. But there wasn't any, I mean, there was people a lot. There was like research was a big one. A lot of people wanted the physical therapy.
Sure.
And that was originally my plan coming out of high school when I chose that. I was like, okay, I'll do like the pre-PT.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shadowed physical therapy, and it was very interesting, but it was very redundant. It was an elderly population, but there's nothing wrong with that. But that just wasn't for me. I wanted to be working with younger people. And you can do that in physical therapy, but those jobs are few and far between.
Sure.
And like starting out, you have to be with that elderly population. You know, I mean, you're not going to come out of college and get hired by the Browns right away.
Right.
You know, like, hey, come work on our $1 million athletes, help them get better. You know, so
yeah.
So doing what I do now with like the sports performance, there is a little bit of a rehab side. Like when kids get injured, we do workouts designed to help them recover from those injuries and rehabilitate and get back bigger and stronger. So there's a little bit of that aspect, which I really do enjoy. But the whole physical therapy, occupational therapy, that just wasn't for me. And I'm glad I shadowed, because I thought that was it. And so that was like a big thing, is like shadowing, going out and, like I said, making experiences and connections.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't for me. I'm not going to do 110%, touching back on that. And so like, I was like, let's do something else, you know?
Right.
And so what that something else is, you know, to be determined, but
yeah.
I have a few ideas, you know, so.
You're always a guy that's looking for those side hustles, you know, you're always grinding and something and everything.
I am.
Like, I remember you driving for It was Uber Eats, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was
during, the main one, yeah. During the pandemic, man. It was crazy. Like,
it was popping. Like,
sitting around and, like, people were, like, I'd get, like, big, like, more generous tips, you could say. And they're, like, thank you for your, like, service. I'm, like, I'm just driving Uber Eats. I'm, like, I'm not defending the country. But, like, I was, like, frontline worker, you know. And
yeah, right.
Just me driving around, listening to Lil Wayne in my car for 6 hours at a time, driving food to people. No, yeah. So, always looking for something.
Yeah. How do you determine what might be feasible for you? Or how do these ideas come to you? Because, like, the Uber Eats one's kind of a slap in the face in a way. Like, eventually, it was flooded, right? I remember
yeah.
They were, like, that, Grubhub, DoorDash, all of them were flooded with people that were trying to get in there.
Yeah, and it was just, like, a thing for the pandemic. And then
right.
Once I started working, like, gyms opened back up, I got into my job. And so then it was like, okay, I'm, you know. It was
yeah.
A good little side hustle, and it
sure.
Was easy. But focused on, like, the more careers aspect, you know, doing that. And so I was, like, full-time at that gym at that time. So there's just no time for Uber Eats. But no, I always think it's important to have a side hustle, because unless you're a doctor or, I mean, I would say doctor, lawyer, whatever, unless you're making a very large income,
mm-hmm.
I think that a side hustle is something good to have, like a supplemental income. So that's something I've always been kind of interested in. Like, I see myself in a few years having one main career, but then I also see myself with a side hustle. So I'm always looking and trying new things. Like, I did personal training, like online personal training on the side, and I had a few clients, and that went okay. It didn't take off by any means. But, like, you know, on to the next. My mom, she owns a catering company. So that's not really a side hustle. That's more of, like, I'm forced to come in and work on the weekends when she needs me. I did that all throughout high school. But, no, it's great side money, though, you know.
Sure.
So just kind of finding other ways to supplement income, especially now I'm a student. I'm working part-time right now. But I was just finding other things to do. It's always been something that I've been kind of passionate about. And I don't know what exactly, like I said, still finding my way.
Mm-hmm.
But just finding something that you enjoy and then doing that and trying to find a way to make money or make a living off of that, I think is important.
Yeah.
Because you got to enjoy what you do.
I really think, too, like, you mentioned doctors, you mentioned lawyers, and those are people who, like you said, are making typically very large sums of cash.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives them the time after work to be doing all their hobbies. So I always think, and I try and link side hustles as in hobbies that you make money for. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't
it's
need
a great
it to
way
be
of putting
your...
that.
You don't need it to be your main focus,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, when you talk about having a career, you have a career, and then you have your side hustles. And probably will end up being more than one. And I feel like a lot of times, it should be something that you're interested in. Otherwise, you're just going to hate it. You're just doing it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you might as well drive Uber Eats.
There you go.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with
there
Uber
you
Eats.
Go.
I mean, no one's getting up every day thinking, like, I can't wait to die having drove an Uber Eats for 40 years.
Exactly.
Like, that's not what anyone wants. So how do you try and look at your hobbies and morph those into side hustles for you? Do you look at it that way at all? Do you look at it and say, like, hey, I'm really, like, for example, I know you were talking Airbnb for a little bit, like, looking at maybe wanting to own Airbnb. Do you find real estate and places and locations to be kind of a hobby for you? Like,
yeah.
Enjoy, yeah.
So, I told you about that, and I don't know, I actually saw it on TikTok, actually. You know?
Okay.
Just, like, following certain accounts, but
yeah.
I saw this guy was... He owned an Airbnb rental, and he just rented it out on Airbnb, and he made the difference. So I was like, oh, why can't I do that? So I looked into it, and it was a little tougher than I thought. I mean, obviously it sounds easy, but, like, finding somewhere in a downtown area where you can just rent somewhere and then sublease it out, it's not very practical. You kind of have to own that. So I do enjoy – so real estate is kind of like an interest that of recently I've kind of picked up. And so while – not necessarily going to move forward with that. I do want my first house to be a duplex.
Yeah.
And then live on one side and rent out the other. You know, so just having little aspirations like that. And I'm in no financial time to buy a house right now. Not to mention I have a longtime girlfriend who is still in Columbus. She's finishing her nursing degree. So she's a year younger than me, so she's still got a year. So
mm-hmm.
once she graduates and I graduate, and we find we each get our own career, then that's something that I definitely want to look into.
Totally.
And owning real estate, that's a side hustle, you know. That's
it
something
is.
That, like, you can do on the side. You don't have to devote 40 hours a week to it. And so it's always staying busy too, you know? Like, I don't know how people wake up, do their 9 to 5, come home, eat dinner, and then watch TV for the rest of the night. Like,
I know.
It would drive me crazy.
I know.
I'm always doing something. I play out my schedule, and if I see something that's open, I fill it with something, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, just doing something productive. Not to say you can't have time to enjoy yourself, obviously.
Oh, of course.
You know.
Lord knows we enjoy ourselves, Sean.
We do. Come Sunday's Browns game, West 6, watch out. I enjoy myself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
You have to. It keeps you sane. It keeps you motivated. I mean, if you don't revitalize yourself and revitalize the relationships with the people around you, then
you're
going to get lost in the sauce, you know.
So. Exactly.
You've always been a real organized, disciplined guy. And that's actually something I really want to touch on with you. Like, how is it that you've become... Because here's what's interesting to me about you. Like, you don't strike me as, like, a regimented guy. Like, we know those regimented, literal calendars. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a walking calendar. Like, this person's a walking calendar.
Yeah.
Like, you do not... Like, if it goes 5 minutes over, you're done. Your day's a mess. But you're not like that. Like, you're much more ebb and flow. And so... But you are very... not regimented, but, like... concrete, knowing what your days are going to be, just like you mentioned, you book them out and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
How do you stay on such a good schedule, first of all, and secondly, how did you get the skills to kind of do that?
I can tell you, I got it from my mom. She runs a business. She has a calendar that she puts every little date on. She's a little more sporadic with hers because she'll be driving. She's like, oh, I have an appointment. She doesn't have anything to write on. She'll write it on like a napkin or something.
Sure.
So she's a little more. I just have like a calendar book, and you know, every Sunday I go through and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing Monday, this is what I'm doing Tuesday, you know, I have work this day, I have class this day, I have to teach this day, whatever it is. And then, like I said, if I say, okay, there's a time there, let's fill that with something, whether it's working on one of my side hustles or something, or or dedicating time to that, or like, okay, I have a paper due in a week, let's block that 2-hour window off to work on that paper. And then also, every time I accomplish something, I scribble it out. It's just
awesome.
Something like that, like, it's not very good if you need to go back and look what you did. but it's just like something in my brain. I'm like, okay, I did that. Check
Absolutely.
It off. And it's like little kind of reinforcements that are like, okay, I did that. And then you look back at the day and you're like, what did I do with my day? You're like, okay, I did 5-6 things, you know?
Sure.
Just, whether they were big scale or little scale, just knowing that you did something, just having that little boost of accomplishment, you know?
Absolutely. Dave Ramsey's a big financial guy, but he's also big. He's backed in psychology. A lot of people don't know that. And that's one of his big things. He's like, with any goal that you're setting, he's like, you want to scribble it off. It's like, you got to celebrate the small ones, not to the degree that you celebrate the big ones. But when you celebrate those small ones, then he's like, you know you're making your way.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, goal setting's a big thing for me, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's important to find, like, your big goals, so, like, 4 or 5 of them, and you write them out, and then you find all the little goals that you have to do in between to get to that goal, you know? So
nice.
Whether it's you have to accomplish A, you have to do B, C, D, and E first, you know? And so then once you do them, you check them off or scrub them out or whatever, and before you know it, you're at that goal. And it helps you, you know, you put deadlines on each of those small ones to help you reach that final big goal.
That's good.
So goal setting is a super important thing. And it's something like I learned a lot, like in my undergrad, we talked about with like physical fitness is like you have to set goals for yourself, and they have to be called SMART goals. It's like specific, measurable, attainable, time oriented, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so just setting attainable goals for yourself and not trying to get it all in one big step. You know, there's a process, you know, to no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, is enjoying the process. That, like, huge for me this summer. I was like, okay, do I want to go to grad school? I was having kind of second thoughts on it. I was like, what if I just, like, I need to find a source of income, like a good source of income. Let's just get a career. I don't care what it is. I just want to be making X amount of money. And I was super hard on myself and just looking forward to the next step, you know? And it kind of took me a while, but towards the end of summer, I was like, I need to take a step back and, like, enjoy the process, you know? Like, it's a real thing, because like each and every day is part of that process. And so just taking a step back and enjoying each day and finding the good in the little things, you know.
Sure.
So just like I said, enjoying the process is super important, because you can't take every day for granted. You can't take any day for granted, honestly. You know, you never know when life's going to change in the blink of an eye. So that's something I've, and you know, listening to your stuff with being more grateful, you know, that stuff actually like is true. Like, take us, what are you grateful for every day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is, yeah. So just taking a step back and kind of like looking at it from like the big picture, but like, okay, let's go to the small picture, you know? Let's see what today was, what today presents, what good came out of today, what good did I do today, or what can I do tomorrow to make it better?
Yeah, that's tremendous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. It's good, because anytime we can appreciate those small things, then we're just a boost our mood for that day, you're going to boost your mood for the next day, and there's a reflection aspect in there too. Anytime that we can be introspective and look at ourselves, and we can morph ourselves into what we want to be more, you know, we can, it's that idea of gradually improving. You're improving every day, and you're improving tomorrow, and then I'm not going to be as good tomorrow as I will be the day after that, and then the day after that, and it just keeps continuing. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, it's been a month. And then you're like, it's been 3 months, it's been a quarter of a year, and now we're done, it's half a year, and the next thing you know, you're celebrating the new year. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And you've grown this whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, I one thing on college that I think is crazy is like the supposed idea that you come in there and you focus on something and like then you're going to go and do it. I'm like, you come in at 18, you've only been driving for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like to be like, put it in reference. And then it's like, you're supposed to have an idea of what you're going to do for the next 40, supposedly.
Yeah.
And that's just naive. So I feel like you just described, a lot of people in our age bracket come into situations where they're like, dang, man, like I'm hard on myself, like you just said, and you feel down, you feel like you're not making it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it hits you where it's like, I got to appreciate the process. I'm not there yet. And I know you're huge on that. I know you're a big, like, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to focus on appreciating it every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a GPS. Like, you plug in the destination.
That's cool.
You know,
yeah.
And then it's like, you swipe down, and then you look at all the different things that go on in there. And kind of like you say with scratching off, it disappears as you do it. You
just
keep working.
That's a really good analogy. So. I like that. Yeah, kind of like you said, like, come in at 18 and you're 4 years, then you have to figure out what you're going to do for the next 40. And I think a lot of times with social media and everything, everything's highlighted on, oh, look, this guy did this. This guy, he made it, you know? And even watching your content, you interview all these like highly successful kids, and and people look at them and they're like, oh, that kid's my age, or he's younger than me, and he's doing something great. And so kudos to them. Like, those people are kicking ass. I love seeing that. But you also have to not compare, because everyone's on their own time. And that's also something I learned. I'm like, oh, this guy is doing that. I'm like, why aren't I doing that, you know? And so use it as motivation, but like, you're also on your own time. And step back and look at the things you did accomplish. It's like really big. Like, okay, yeah, you didn't necessarily reach the end goal, but look at what you did in the past. Look at what you did to get here. And you're still working towards that end goal. So that's like another big thing. If you're not there, don't worry. We're all on our own time. And like, I know I'm not there. And I mean, I still got to graduate school. And I don't know what I'm doing after school. I have a few ideas, like I said. But it's like I said, it's a process. You got to figure it out. And so while someone might be, while someone may have made it, you know, like I said, good for them, but it's all, don't compare yourself, you
right.
know, do what you can control, you know?
Yeah.
Do what you can control.
And there's, I was going to say too, there's that, like, for people who have a sense of belief in God, like the two of us, like, I always think, I'm like, you know, I will understand this later, right? And I, for me, that's like God working, and you could call it what you want, but for me, that's God working, like, I'm in this process right now, or like take you with grad school, you're on the show. You with grad school, you had mentioned you're like, I'm having second thoughts, and you decide you go, and you are a guy that's going to put in 110%. So you're going to grow, you're going to learn, you're going to have more knowledge than you came in with at the end, for sure. So you know those things; they're all good things. And in hindsight, that'll all make sense. But for now, it's like, you're probably still not 100% confident. Just like you said, you don't know what you're going to do after.
Exactly.
But it's the idea that you will get there, and it's best done by appreciating where you are now and giving your all to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think those are all great points. Like I said, like I don't know where I'm going. You know, like I said, I have ideas, but it just comes down to, like I said, enjoying the process. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'm big on that. So yeah. That's kind of my two cents on the take.
Do you think that being, like you said, your mom owns a catering business, do you think that being under someone who is business-minded has had that kind of influence on you where you're like, well, it takes time, number one, because building a business takes time.
For sure.
They're not overnight successes. And, I mean, especially in the food industry where catering last year is really hard when there's no in-person events.
Yeah, yeah. Took a hit last year.
People know that years ago are really good and then years are really bad. And mm-hmm. that's kind of life as well.
Like, yeah.
Do you think that influenced you a lot?
For sure. And my dad, he also, he owns his own print shop downtown in like downtown Cleveland. And so just kind of seeing him and like where he went. So he came out of school, he studied like aerospace technology or something. Okay. Just like, and then ended up doing, it was like that or graphic design. And he kind of went the graphic designer out. And so he worked for like a small company for, I don't know, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then his boss retired. And so he purchased some of the equipment and he kind of made his own business out of that. He didn't do that till he was 44, 45, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so now he's just starting to like really reap those benefits. And yeah, it's awesome seeing how with both parents kind of being own entrepreneurs in two totally different fields,
totally
kind of
different.
Kind of seeing like what they do well and what they do wrong and then trying to learn from what they did wrong, you know?
Totally.
So yeah, I think that's definitely had a big influence. I've always kind of been someone who wants to own their own business or it's a little more business oriented. And while I didn't study that necessarily, mm-hmm. I figured you could make a business out of anything, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You know, someone, you can do anything, you know?
Right. The methodologies are the same, so it makes sense to specialize in what you want to make a business out of.
Exactly. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, rather than just being so broad, you know, go a little more specific on something and then figure out how to make a business mm-hmm. out of that. So I'm kind of doing stuff with my dad. He's at a print shop. He's bought a new printer where we can print on any kind of material.
Huh.
And so we're kind of trying to make that its own little separate entity. So we have like a Facebook page for it, TikTok page for it, and it's like brand new, like
yeah.
made like within the past week or so.
That's awesome. Just send that stuff over to me.
I will. Yeah. I will. Because I know I get all your stuff, so I'll return the favor.
That's it.
But no, so just always kind of like going back to staying hungry, you know, like,
yeah.
okay, what's next? And then if something doesn't work out, okay, scrap it. What's next? You know? And so this one, I'm like, okay, this is kind of like already a little bit legitimized, like with my dad, it's his printing,
totally.
You know, So I have great resources with him, my uncle. My uncle's a financial banker. So just like, I'm very blessed, let's say that. Like,
sure.
I'm very blessed to have the resources that I have, you know, my mom, my dad, my uncle, and just other, like, supporting cast, like friends,
yeah.
family, girlfriend, you know, so all of that. So I think all of that kind of plays a big part in molding who you are, and I think those factors molded who I am, and it's my job to do something with it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, you've learned to work hard by all those people that have worked hard around you. And you've seen a direct correlation. Like, this life that you live clearly comes as a result of their hard work. And
mm-hmm.
you know that. I mean, that's what they did, and they supported you, and you went to school, and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
all the things that you would want happen because of those two business ideas and the success stories within them. And you grew up seeing the process.
Mm-hmm.
You've grown up seeing the process.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And like you said, like, hard work, just like, that is something that my mom and dad instilled in me. Like, they are two of the hardest workers I know. So my dad, he's not even on a 40-hour schedule. He works when he needs to work, and usually it's a lot more than 40 hours. And then on weekends, he comes in to do the catering. He does all the cooking for the catering, so he works his ass off. And my mom,
mm-hmm.
like, we don't have the normal 9-to-5 schedule of a family where, like, everyone goes out, does it. Like, most of the time, I'm like, coming home from work after the gym at 9:30, and I'm the first one home. You know, even my little brother, he's got a little lifeguarding gig that he does. And so it's tough, and it's a lot of moving pieces, but I just see that everyone in the family is working hard
mm-hmm.
and working for where we've worked so far to get to where we've gotten. And so just continuing that, and that's something, like, I see my family and something that they've done, all the things they've done for me. So my goal is to do that, but even better. You
that's
know?
Awesome.
And
yeah.
Like, and I think that's, we're young, but like, if as we grow up, you know, start having family, I think that as a parent or like as the leader of a household, you want to take what you've been given and do better. You know, I think that's like one of the most important things, whether it's a parent or a caregiver or head of household, whatever it is, you know. Yeah. Take what you've been given and turn it into something better, or go above and beyond that.
Absolutely. And that is a Bible story in and of itself. The landlord gives his talents to three people. You know, the one guy triples it, the one guy doubles it, the other guy buries in the sand. Comes back, he's angry with the guy that buried in the sand. He's like, what's up?
Yeah.
It's just, you do better. When you're given gifts and you're given talents, you are supposed to, you're called to do something with them. Like, yeah. The world needs you to do something with them.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, you're just sitting in the waste of potential.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a letdown.
No, exactly.
You're not a guy that can live with that. I'm not a guy that can live with that. Like, you gotta go do something with
it. Yeah, yeah. Taking advantage of every opportunity you've been given, mm-hmm. I think is super important, and doing something with it, because there are people that don't. They have opportunities and they don't. And, you know, there's people who have very limited opportunities, but they make the most out of them and they do incredible things. So I think that's important. It's just the opportunity you've been given, use it, you know, don't take it for granted.
That's great. And Sean, you mentioned family, right? We're talking family, and you mentioned longtime girlfriend too. What is it that, how do you combine, and we're young, right? Like, so you've seen your parents, healthy, crazy, all moving pieces.
Crazy for sure.
Right?
Crazy,
like,
for sure.
Awesome. And so they have these businesses that make it crazy because the hours are wacky and all this sorts of thing. Now, you mentioned your girlfriend studying nursing, and you're obviously figuring out what you're going to do when you finish your schooling. Mm-hmm. But something with the fitness, or something with nutrition, and something in health,
something
amongst all the side hustles, how does your long-term relationship influence where you, how you think about things going forward and where you place emphasis?
I think it's awesome to have a support system right there. Like, I decide what I'm going to do with my life, and I change it every single month. I swear. I was, 2 months ago, I was back in the, I saw someone physical therapy. I was like, oh, maybe I'll give the physical therapy a shot. Then last month, I was like, you know what? Actually, I'm going to do cardiac rehab. And then as, let's see, it's October, just first week of October, so I had to come up with a new one. So my new one is, I was like, I like business, let's do pharmaceutical sales. So I'm like, okay, you know what, this might be the one. And so it's changing every 4 or 5 weeks with me. Sure. I'm just very kind of sporadic, I'm out there. And so she kind of just holds me down, you know, Hannah, she's awesome. And so I can tell her all these things, and she challenges me too. Like,
yeah.
It's good. She's like, okay, well, what good is going to come out of this? Is there bad that can come out of this? So things like that. So it's, and like, stress is a big thing, you know. I mean, I'm a busy guy, you know, lots going on with the family and everything. They're always busy, you know, so I can just turn to and like let all the stress out, you know. And this past year has been tough, just with her being down in Columbus and I'm in Cleveland, which honestly at the end of the day isn't that, it's 2 hours. So
right.
I go try to see her at least once a week. But, I mean, today's day and age, technology, FaceTime, text, all that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's doable, but it's just a blessing to have, honestly, you know, and I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Yeah.
Is
it wild to have, like that's your high school sweetheart. Is that wild to be that guy? Like, you're the high school sweetheart guy.
It's crazy. It's crazy, yeah. I, like, get the Snapchat memories, and I'm like, Jesus, we weren't even adults in this. I'm like, it's crazy, like, back when I had the long hair and everything,
yes.
I was like, "Look at that kid!" You know,
yes,
you know,
it was
interesting. Let's say that,
yeah.
To say the least. You know, lax bro, of course.
So
but
gotta have the lettuce.
Yeah, I gotta have the lettuce, whether it's good or bad. Mine wasn't the best. Let's say that. But no, it's wild just to see how far we've come. Like, just choose a girl that sat behind me in speech class. You know, and she's a year younger than me, a cute girl. You know, and then, who would have thought, you know, five, 6 years later? I mean, we're going on almost 6 years now.
So awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how long it's been. And it's nice knowing that, like, I have that in the future as well, you know. That's
right.
Something I don't have to worry about. And I think when you know, you know. And
yeah.
I think I know.
Right.
We're
not going to waste your time or hers.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it's been great, you know, and it just is like the other half of you that you can just kind of vent to or yell at, even. You know?
When you know someone that well, it's a great rally.
Exactly. It's
around.
Like the back
of
your hand. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
that's so great. Because, like you said, it's another thing that you have locked in that's stable, and amid all the craziness of, like, figuring it out, of random scheduling, of everything that you do.
It's probably
day,
the most stable thing
I
have.
That is like one of the more stable things.
Yeah, it's one of the few stable things I have. So no, it's great.
And in that same vein, Sean, you always have been able to maintain great friendship. Like you're a great friend to me and amongst other people, you know, Luke, who introduced the two of us, mm-hmm. and of course all the other fellas and the girlfriend and her friends. You've uh-huh. always been a great friend to them amongst your family and on. But my point is, how do you schedule that in and how do you place your priority there? Because as you mentioned, when you have open time, you fill it.
Yeah.
But you also have to be, if I'm seeing this correctly, you also have to be scheduling into these times with these people.
For sure.
Amid all that.
For sure. And it's tougher. And that's something that, like, as we grew up, we kind of all recognize. Everyone, I'm not the only busy one. Mm-hmm. Everyone's busy.
Sure.
And so just, you're not going to see them as much. But when you do, just making sure it's quality time, whether you're sitting and having great conversations like us or ripping 14 tequila shots down in the flats, you know?
Right.
No, but so it definitely is tough to balance girlfriend, work, life, family, friends too, you know? And so I think I'm pretty lucky to have a lot of my friends are friends with each other. You know, I don't have the biggest circle, but you know, I don't want the biggest circle.
Right.
I have my close group of 5-6 friends that I'm like really tight with. I can go see them anytime. And even if I haven't talked to them in a month, pick up like we never left off, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just like we left off. So I think just recognize that everyone's busy and if it doesn't work out, okay, get you next week, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but you also do have to make time for that. And so I do, when I'm not working or if I have weekends, you know, I like to catch up with buddies and go out, grab a drink, watch the Browns game together, whatever
mm-hmm.
it may be, go to an Indians game together. And so it's also good, like with social media, you can still feel connected with them. You still talk to them all the time, but
right.
but nothing beats the face-to-face interaction, the in-person,
totally.
For sure.
Yeah, that's all like second tier.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great second tier.
For sure.
I'm not knocking it, but it is definitely the second
yeah,
tier.
Yeah, I mean, but the fact that like I got buddies all over right now. I got friends down at OU, Cincinnati. One lives out in Huron. One of my good friends, he moved down to Tampa, you know? And so like, how often do you see them, you know?
Right.
So just making sure you stay in touch, I think is a really important factor. And then the ones that you can see, you do see when you can, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when an opportunity presents itself to see someone who you haven't seen in a while, push something else off, you know, make room for those people.
You're an interesting guy because of that too, and I think people like spending time with interesting people.
Appreciate
so
that.
You know, I'm serious. Like, it's cool that when you have these opportunities, you're making the most of even those too, because it's like everyone's gonna go through stuff, but like you got to be an upbeat person too at the same time. No one likes a person that's just like never has anything to contribute.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do? Like, are you interested in stuff? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And you're one of those guys. You have a lot going on. You have a lot of interest, nice guy, like good time. So that adds to the value of those relationships too. Like,
for
making
sure.
the most of those face-to-face interactions, those kind of things.
Yeah, making the most of it. And that's something I've learned, like being long distance, is like
yeah.
whether I can go and spend a weekend down in Columbus with her, or if we just have to meet halfway in Mansfield for dinner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I only get to see you for an hour and a half, 2 hours, but you make the most out of it, you
right.
know? And so just appreciating everything and being grateful for what you have and recognizing in the moment that, okay, this is the moment, I have to appreciate that. And I really picked that up probably like senior year of college when I realized, oh shit, like, I'm going to be out of here. I'm out of here in a few weeks, you know? And like, I loved Ohio State. And I felt like definitely got robbed of a year just with
yeah,
COVID
yeah,
and everything,
right.
like coming home. And my summers were spent back home working, so I didn't have summers down there. So just like every single day, I was like, okay, not necessarily counting down, but I'm like, all right, I got this amount of time, I have to do something with it. And so there weren't days where I just like slept in, you know, or just hung out at the house. And even those days were like nice, but like going out and doing something, going seeing campus a little more, you know.
Yeah. Ugly tuna.
Ugly tuna. Bless that place. That's my that's my pride and joy.
It is.
It was just a bar that was like a rock's throw away from my house, and they had the best deals on campus. It was like $1 drinks from like 4 to 7. So $3.59. I was there at the door with my $8, you know. I'm like, I'm ready, you know. So and you know, with the people that were around you, you know. So
yeah.
My buddy Nick Opencar, he was my roommate. He was there with me every single day. He kind of recognized, okay, we have this much time. He loved Ohio State just as much, if not more so than I did. So, and so it was good to have someone. Like, I feel like you always got to have someone to do those things with you.
Right.
Like I'm a social guy, and so I like having someone, like, I'm not going to go out alone, you know?
No, yeah.
This is weird drinking alone, one, but two, like, someone to talk to, you know? And so that's why this year's definitely been a big difference, because, like I said, I got buddies all over the state, even some out-of-state girlfriends out of town. Mm-hmm. And so just, like, kind of like, whoa, okay, you know? A little more lonely, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, just really appreciate the time that I do have when I spend with people. So I think it's been a really good wake-up call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It keeps you going.
It does.
You're a happy guy, Sean. Do you have any tips for people to be happy? Because I'm of the opinion that happiness is a choice. No one really, at this point, has convinced me otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we choose to wake up and be happy and do the things that happy people do.
Yeah.
Or we choose to not. And there are plenty of reasons to not. Like, if you tell me you're not happy because something bad, we all get that.
Yeah.
But it's like, but then you rebound, or you don't. Mm-hmm. And that's the choice. So I think happiness is the choice.
But
how do you stay happy? What do you do to be happy?
It's just attitude, you know?
Yeah,
like,
so too.
I personally think about it, like, something happens, I'm like, all right, I can either dwell on this and be pissed about it, or I can push it back, you know, unless it's like something really pressing, I can push it back and kind of focus on something else. And I think attitude's a big thing. And like, you see videos where people walk up to some random person, like, are you happy? And I think those videos are really interesting because you can see someone who's not very financially successful, or they're struggling, or they've been dealt a bad hand, or they're down on their luck, but yes, they're still happy because they mm-hmm. appreciate things, and they don't take, like, we all have a limited amount of time on this earth. So just really appreciating things and having a good attitude about it. And then there's like the other hand where there's people who, they say money doesn't buy happiness, and I'll let you know. if I ever get there.
Not you.
So they say money doesn't buy happiness, and I can honestly agree with that to an extent, because unless you have people to really share those relationships with and share that money and the things that you buy with money with, then what is it? So I think it's all about just surrounding yourself with people and making the best of each and every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's something I try to do. And I catch myself, I'll be down, I'm mad about something. I'm like, all right, do something to turn around. Do something that makes you happy. Go shoot hoops. Go work out if that's what it is. Go listen to music, you know. Play a video game, you know. Take your mind off of it. Find something that makes you happy and go do it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's like the, you know, the infamous Iron Man story. Just he's crazy wealthy millionaire, billionaire, whatever. Got all these crazy technologies. He's a brilliant dude. Lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Insert pots, you know, Pepper Potts. And next thing you know, he like actually understands life and right. And he gets it. And like, he, when the time comes, he's the guy steps up to the plate, sacrifice kind of thing. And he learns the value of, the money hasn't bought me happy. He moves out to that cabin.
Yeah.
And that's when he's most happy. He moves out with his family, his two daughters, and his wife at that time, and like, that's when he's happy. And then he steps up to the plate and uses the things that he's great at doing, his technology. He uses his money, his mm-hmm. resources, and he defends.
Yeah, it's all about cool. Putting value into things. What do you value, you know? So maybe some people, it is money. They'll be happy with their $1 million, just a loan. That's fine. But like, it's all about what you value, and so find something you value and put time, effort, and dedication into it, you know?
Yeah. And gratitude is one of my big things. And you touched on it a little bit earlier. I really believe that people are happiest when they are grateful.
I knew the gratitude comment would get you going.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, let's go.
threw you a slow ball right there.
Thank you. You did. You just put the lob up there.
Yeah,
you gave me like the biggest barrel ever. I'm just watching it soar still.
That's awesome.
Waiting for it to hit the ground. So what is gratitude to you? How do you live grateful each day?
It's a good question. Shit. So hypothetical and deep. I love it. Makes me think. I don't know. I think gratitude's different for everyone. Just, I mean, you can say like the basics of just being appreciative of everything and thankful and grateful, you know. I think those are all good blanket terms, but it's kind of like, it's in the eye of the beholder. Like how do you show your gratitude, you know, whether it's verbally, whether it's physically, emotionally, you know, showing that gratitude. So for me personally, I'm just very thankful for everything, whether it's I'm saying that in a prayer, or if I'm saying that to my parents or something, I just being thankful, like in little things, like always thanking someone for the little things, like if they hold the door open for you, or if they hand you something, just say thank you, like little things like that. And I think that comes back to like the whole personality thing, and people notice those things. Like working in food service, like if I'm out up carving on the buffet and I give someone their food and they don't say anything, I'm like, all right, wow, like
you're a jerk.
Yeah, I'm like people notice that. People pick up on it, like holding the door open for people, just little things, finding ways that to give back, I guess you could say. And like I said, you never know when that little gesture is going to go a long way, you know, whether it's for you or for someone else, whether like you helped someone else out and like that meant more to them than you could ever imagine, you know, something very little to you, or like you help someone out a little bit and they're like, all right, I'm going to give back to this person, and they present you with some great opportunity, you know.
That's great.
So coming back to like, you never know who's watching, just doing the little things, little bunch of little things that add up to one big thing, right?
Yeah. And you know, you're watching yourself, you know, so you got to hold yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. You got to be grateful. You got to say the thank yous and,
yeah,
and go the extra mile. My big thing is I like to smile. Like I always want to be smiling and try it. Like that's one of the signs of gratitude. Like
that's a good one.
It's a joyful thing, and it's clearly a sign of appreciation and recognition of the moment for better. So. Yeah.
Smile. The good, like, if you're a guy that, like, you've maybe seen once or twice before, whether it's on campus or at work, something that you don't really know, the classic, the bro nod, you know,
talking about that.
Awesome. That goes a long way, too. You're like, all right, I like that guy, you know? Yeah, like, yeah, someone does that to you, like, all right, what's up, brother, you know? So, yeah, little things like that, I think are great.
Yeah. Sean, do you have any kind of closing remarks, closing advice, any sort of wisdom you would impart to anybody, to people who are in a long-term relationship, to people who are in a long-distance relationship, to people trying to get fit, healthy, wherever you want to take it, do you have any advice that you would give to X?
Going back to the enjoy the process, whether it's relationships, there's going to be ups, and man, there's going to be downs, and like no relationship is perfect. I mean, you may have just started dating someone, you're in that honeymoon phase, but it's going to end eventually, you know? And so there's going to be ups, appreciating the ups, and then rebounding from the downs, finding a way to rebound from the down. Another one that I kind of want to leave you off with is you don't have to compare yourself. Be motivated by someone. But like I said, we're all on our own time schedule. So make sure that you're working towards that goal. But don't rush it. But you'll get there one day. And like, I'm not there, like I said. Like, I see all these people on your podcast. And they're there, you know. So it's kind of why I wanted to come on. Like, remind people, like it's okay you're not there, you know. Like, you'll get there. Like, as long as you're working your ass off for it, you know, and you're taking steps to get there, you will. And then just, like I said, enjoying each step of that process. Whether that, I said, it's a relationship or if it's fitness, if you want to work out. A lot of people, they start working out and they don't see results in 2 weeks and they stop. Like, it's like consistency. It's so important, no matter what you do in life, just being consistent and trusting that process, you know. Joel Embiid, trust it, you know. Just know that you're on the right path, and if you really think you're not on the right path, do something about it, you know. So, I don't know, just those few little remarks, I would say.
Status quo is stagnation.
Yeah, you never...
Stagnation's bad.
One of my close buddies will know this one, but one of my favorite songs is called Too Comfortable. It's by Future, and it just says, don't get too comfortable, basically. Like, comfort is a bad thing. If you're comfortable, you're not pushing yourself, you know. You know, be proud, but don't be satisfied. I saw that in some jack dude shirt one day at the gym. I'm like, whoa, but that's actually kind of cool. Like, I'm proud of where I am, but I'm not satisfied at all with where I am. There's always more that I want. So keeping that that continuity and just continuing to grind, like trusting that grind, trusting that process. And I think it will really pay off one day. And then you'll look back, and if you appreciate the process, I think you'll really enjoy what you got, you know.
That's awesome. To anyone listening, this is your call. This is your nod. We're goading you into it. We're giving you the nudge, whatever you want to say. Start something, do something, put your mind to it, commit to it. Find what you find to be joyful. Be joyful, be happy. Do the things that you want to do on whatever scale, but give your all into it. And that will bring tremendous reward to your life and a lot of ways, hopefully in every way, but definitely in many ways.
Yeah, I like that. Just kind of, sometimes you need a calm, you know?
You do, yeah.
I hope this one person listened to this and was somewhat inspired or reassured on something. I would be very happy, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I always said, like, people, I always ask me, they're like, well, what do you, like, why do you want to get in the field of motivation and stuff like that? And I'm like, I want to be the last video that someone sees on TikTok before they go and do whatever. Like let this be the last video you're watching on YouTube, or the last podcast you listen to before you go do something else.
That's awesome, because I've been that person. I like follow motivational things. I'm like get off this and go do it. You know,
that's
like
it.
What are
yeah.
you doing? Like, grow up.
And we need that. Like, I love that motivational stuff. I listen to something every day that is of that capacity. And so hopefully I can be thrown in the mix for whoever's listening. But that's like, it's good to know kind of your goals. And
that's
to
awesome.
To be,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. So anything else, Sean?
No, man. That's it. I appreciate everything.
Oh,
I appreciate
gosh,
you having
right.
me on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hell of a time. I thought we had a really good discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You
thanks
know.
For coming on. We'll get a round two going. I mean, this is early. We're early in the chats with Clark Stages, but
it's early right now, but next time we definitely gotta have like a little drink in the hand, I think.
Drink
know?
In the hand. All right. Yeah.
I think
we'll
get real philosophical with
the
it.
The wine. We're going to just get some real heavy wine. And make
we
can
do
very...
wine. I was thinking more tequila.
I knew you were
thinking
to
each their own, you know?
Their own.
I mean,
yeah.
See,
we'll just get you some 1800.
Yeah. See how rowdy we want to get this podcast going, you know, get the, break the record on the views for the YouTube, you know?
That's right, yeah. Sean Schieferstein is an amazing dude, and clearly you've gotten a taste of that throughout this episode of the Chats with Clark. I will be posting Sean's links to his social media and to whatever else he would like incorporated into the links. So as you know, it'll either be in the description below or in one of the pinned comments if you're on YouTube. Kind of depends what YouTube lets me do. If you are listening, you should have subscribed, and I don't know what you're waiting for. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Give us a like. If you're listening on whatever podcast, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio, whatever you're listening on, we appreciate you tuning in. I hope you're subscribing there as well. I'm the host, Joe Clark. This has been another episode of Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in.